Okay, right. Great to see us all here. Anybody get any presents this morning? Anybody bring any presents with them? Yes, I see some. Oh, I like that present there. Man United kit. Lovely. What a lovely, lovely present. I've got a Man United Christmas jumper, but I didn't risk bringing it this morning. But that's lovely. Right. We've been thinking about Christmas time. Click up the first one there, John. And we've been thinking about Jesus is the Word. Words let people know who we are, what we're like. And Jesus is the one who tells us some wonderful things. Now, we were thinking a few Sundays ago, boys and girls, about what Jesus, the Word, is like. The next thing we see, he is the clock, we'll see. Means that Jesus existed before time began. Jesus is eternal. He's no beginning. The next one shows us, remember the triangle? One triangle, three sides, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is God. He's divine. He's with God, friends of God, but he also is God. And then the next thing we learned, flick it on, we look there and see a man who's building. And Jesus is the great builder, the creator. But unlike that man, Jesus made things out of nothing. And then the fourth one, we think of Jesus is life. He is the true life, and he brings life to everyone and to everything that has life. And then the final thing we looked a few Sundays ago was say, Jesus, that life is light. He is the light of the world. And John begins his gospel talking about those wonderful things about Jesus, being eternal, being God, being the creator, being life, being light. And then the next picture, John goes on and talks about John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin, who's come to prepare the way for Jesus, calling people to come back to God. He was a witness to the light. And after talking with John the Baptist, John then talks in the next picture about how Jesus came to his own, came to the people he made, and they said no. They wouldn't accept Jesus. They wouldn't embrace the light. But John says a wonderful thing happens. A miracle happens. The next slide shows that indeed people are born again. Their hearts which say no to Jesus are changed into hearts that will love Jesus and follow him. We're going to think a few more things about Jesus here today, boys and girls, and what John is telling us about him. A few things in my big bag. It's back here again today. First thing we're seeing is in the first slide. Oh, baby. Do you think this is my doll? Do you want to tell you a wee secret? No, don't tell the grown-ups this, right? When I was wee, I wanted a black doll for Christmas. And I got a black doll for Christmas. I think it was living in the house with too many girls. I don't know. Anyway, right. The Word became flesh, John says. That the Word who made everything, the great God who is so majestic and glorious, he came into this world as a little baby. But John didn't say the Word became a baby, which is true though. He didn't say the Word became a human being. He says the Word became flesh. And that word flesh, we think of our flesh, but in the Bible the word flesh means that a part of mankind which has been spoiled by sin. And Jesus didn't come into this world like Adam, whose body was perfect and had no weakness. He came into the world and took on the same type of body as we have, yet he was without sin. A body with weakness, a body that was frail. He came so low. He didn't come into the world like Superman, who had a body that couldn't be hurt. He came in with a body of all the weaknesses that we have because of sin. Yet he was without sin. So the Word became flesh, we're told. And then the next thing we're told, well, let's see, we'll show you here. Let me know what this is. Any ideas what this is? Okay, Matthew. No, it's not a ladybug outfit. Yes. Tablecloth, getting closer. Karis, what is it? It's a tent. Okay. It's a tent, so I can go into the tent like that. Okay, it's a tent. I don't have the poles with me, right? And the next thing which John tells us about Jesus is the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, actually, he says in the original language, he put his tent among us. That's what he's saying, actually. Jesus came and put his tent among us. Remember the children of Israel, they were in Egypt, and they were traveling to the promised land. God told them to make a special tent called a tabernacle. And that's a tent where they came and worshiped God. And God would come down in a great cloud into that tent. And it was so bright and so wonderful, boys and girls, the priest couldn't go into the tent. God had come among his people. And then the cloud, which God, the sign of God with them, when the cloud moved, the tent then moved, they followed after the cloud. And this is telling us something wonderful. This great God has come and lived among us. He has pitched his tent among us to be one with us and to be our friends and to know us. And boys and girls, this is the most important thing at Christmas time. Do we know this Jesus? For mums and dads and everyone else, do we know this Jesus? He wants to be our friend. Okay, what's the next thing it says? Flicker on there. He dwelt among us. We have seen his glory. What have I got here? Okay. What's that there? Let me tell me what that is. Okay, yes. It's a telescope. I mean, you use a telescope for, you can look way up at the stars, you can look way up at the moon, and use a telescope to look way up in the sky. And things which are far away, the telescope helps us to see them. And Jesus, the God who often seems far away, Jesus has come so that we will know what God is like. That we will know that God is so wonderful. That we will know that God is clean and pure, loving and kind. John was talking about how people are born of God. And then he speaks about people seeing God's glory. Later on, Jesus would speak to Nicodemus again about people being born again. Born of God, born again. And then he talks again about people seeing Jesus and the glory of Jesus, which would be at the cross when he had died. And so we have seen his glory. So Jesus is the Word who was made flesh, came down among us, be one of us. He has lived among us. He's pitched his tent among us. And he's the one who brings God near, that we can know what God is like. So you look at the life of Jesus, you know what God is like. Flick it on there, Jonathan. And the next thing says, he is full of grace and truth. And being filled, well, think of truth first of all. Truth, being full of truth, means he's full to the very top. There's no lies, no deceit in Jesus. He's full of truth. And his truth we have in the Bible. Not just the words that Jesus said in the Gospels, but he is a great God who told Moses and David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, so on, what to say. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Paul, Peter, John. Jesus told them what to say. So what we have in the Bible is his true word. Maybe you get a test in school and you have 20 questions and you get 2 right. Okay? 18 wrong. Sound good? Mm-mm. And then teacher looks and thought, ach, I'll be nice to them. So instead of writing 2 out of 20, she says, ach, I'll put a wee note after the 2. 20 out of 20. You think the teacher will do that? No, and God can't do that either. He tells us what we need to know. He tells us where we're not right. And he tells us the truth about how we're saved. And one of the things, boys and girls, we want to follow Jesus. He wants us to be full of truth as well. That's why in Sunday school, in church, in Good News Club, in BB, in GB, in our youth club, in our youth fellowship, in all that we do in church, we're teaching the Bible again and again and again. Morning service, evening service, midweek. It's all to be full of this truth. Because God wants us to be full of truth. He wants us to know the whole word. So he's full of truth. But what's the other thing it says? Full of grace. Now let's think about that word grace. It's a good name that, isn't it? Okay. What have I got here? Okay, hold on a second. Okay, do you know what these are? What are these? Yes, Matthew. A weighing thing. Let me know what you call them. They're called, yes, scales. Very good. And you can put something to weigh. And over here, we have wee weights. And whatever, if something goes down there, you can put the wee weights to see how heavy something is. And so it balances out
And you know what weight it is. It's to weigh something. And the Bible tells us that God is weighing us. God is weighing our sin. And do you think, boys and girls, if our sin was put on these scales, do you think it would be heavy? How heavy do you think it would be? It would be massively heavy. And because our sin is so bad, we deserve to be punished and to go to that place called hell because of our sin. And God measures everyone, and everyone's sin is so heavy, we fall down the wrong side, and we don't deserve to go to heaven. But remember the cross? What happened at the cross? Jesus came, he took our sin, the weight of our sin, and he put it upon himself so we could be forgiven. And look now, my sin, is it being weighed down? No, my sin's taken away because Jesus has taken it. And here in this building today, boys and girls, there are two types of people. There are people whose sin, they're still being weighed down and guilty. Or there are people who have come to trust in Jesus and their sin is taken away. And that's what it means when it says Jesus is full of grace. He doesn't deal with us as we deserve. Look it on, John, and we see a picture. This is from a film called Les Miserables. And it's about a man called Jean Valjean. And he was a bad man. He had a really bad time in life. And there was an elderly bishop, a bit like a minister, took him in and let him stay one night at his house. What did Jean Valjean do? He got up in the middle of the night and he stole the silver. All that was of value in the house. He stole it and took away. But what happened was the police caught Jean and they brought him back to the priest and said, listen, we've got this man and we found these things in his bags. Is this your stuff? And the priest says to him, Jean, I'm really cross with you. And Jean probably was thinking, oh, he's cross because I stole this. He says, no, he says, Jean, you didn't take the silver candlesticks as well. They're worth so much. You should take them as well. And he says to the man, the police, oh, Sean's loud all this. And he gave him the silver candlesticks as well. When John deserved to be punished, the bishop showed grace. Not only forgive him, but gave him so much more. And John took the silver candlesticks and it changed his life. The love and the kindness of the priest. That is what grace is, boys and girls. Grace is God coming to us in Jesus and not punishing. What does it say? Jesus is full of grace and truth. Fill to the very top. Fill to, if you could look inside Jesus, grace, truth. He's so full of it. And you know something, boys and girls? Jesus wants you and me, mums and dads, grannies and grandads, everyone here, to know that grace and that truth in their life. And how does that come in their lives? It comes as we receive Jesus. And we were thinking about this, boys, last Sunday, weren't we? Pick it on, Jonathan. How do you receive Jesus? How do you receive the word? Oh, I like it simple. A, B, C. A, admit your guilt. Admit you're a sinner who deserves God's punishment. Admit the scales, your weight of your sin is terrible. B, believe that Jesus has died for you, that Jesus has died on the cross to rescue you from your sin, to take the punishment of your sin, and trust that he alone can do it, and ask him to do that. And C, confess him as your Lord. Say, Jesus, take over my life. I want to turn away from my sin and follow you. I can't do it by myself, but you can help me. Please help me. I wonder, boys and girls, have you done that? A, admit. B, believe. C, confess him as your Lord. And when you do that, boys and girls, your life too will be full of grace and truth. As Christmas has entered your heart, the word has come to be flesh in you. Oh, that's amazing. God would come and live in us. Isn't that wonderful? Because if you trust in Jesus, that's what's happened. God's Spirit lives in us to make us new. So I hope, boys and girls, mums and dads, everyone's, this Christmas time, you really think of this and ask, have you done this? Have you admitted your guilt? believed in Jesus, your only hope, confessed him as your Lord.